My name is Ryan Turek. I'm the director of development over at Blumhouse, and
McKinney
is so savvy. I also do press stuff too. So welcome to the Gallows Press Day. We have the cast and directors in attendance. Give them a round of applause. I heard you guys saw the movie last night.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank
so
you
nervous.
For coming out this morning, guys, in this awesome, awesome hotel room. I think this is very apropos.
Looks great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I just found out that we couldn't have like any actual gallows built in here.
Oh, wow.
Liability.
Yeah.
It's kind of a relief.
We just do it anyway. This movie is interesting because it is being released on a wide scale by a major studio, but you guys have come from that very cool background in which you know, it's kind of like a grassroots effort kind of thing, a Blair Witch Project sort of thing. So what we want to do is I want to kind of get into the origins of the project, where YouTube came from, and then we'll spin out from there. Like I said, we can be super conversational, tell some fun stories, and go from there. So Chris, Travis.
Yes.
Can I just first say this is awesome. This is really cool for us, you guys.
Yes.
I was nervous. I'm taking this panoramic view. I'm shaking, and I'm
so
like,
cool.
The budget
very cool.
of this whole ordeal is probably more than our movie, at least.
Several times
gosh.
More.
Yeah. There's a cup of coffee you have.
The craft services was more.
Yeah, the craft services was more, actually, yeah.
So you two are from Fresno, correct?
I'm from Fresno, or I live in Fresno. I haven't been there for the last 20 years. Chris is from...
I'm from Nebraska.
Okay, so
small town, Beatrice, Nebraska.
Which is where our movie.
Nice. So I'm curious, how did this creative collaboration come about? Were you guys doing short films beforehand?
I was just interested in being a director, and I went to film school at the New York Film Academy here in L.A., and after film school, during film school, I should say, my thesis film, I filmed in Fresno to save money because I didn't have any money. And through that, I met Travis. And Travis was living in Fresno, and he was just starting to be interested in getting into entertainment, into movies.
Yes.
And
I needed to find anyone that was doing anything related to it. And I heard he was coming up, and I said, I can do stunts. I'll do stunts in his thesis film. And so I did. And they were good ones. They were good ones. I didn't break anything.
No.
You met me at
I met
your
yeah,
short
I met I met we
too.
Met Ryan briefly during the thesis screening.
Terrible.
And then
part.
He came and auditioned for this movie and he was like, "Yeah, I met you at the Warner Brothers backlot."
And Chris was like, "No, I couldn't."
So
we ended up meeting at that point in Fresno, and I was just really impressed with my first question was, "How old are you?" to him, right. And I think many of us have that same thought. But he was 19 at the time. He said, "I'm 19," and it wasn't so much that he looked young, although that's a big part of it, but it was the fact that this was the guy telling everyone where to go and what to do and directing and really guiding them, and I was just so impressed with his drive and focus and his vision. And I thought, man, here I am, this just slightly older person who wanted to get involved. And I said, I need to listen and pay attention to this guy because he knows exactly what he wants. And I've been trying to figure that out for a while. And I learned a ton from him. And we created a friendship that developed into our company. And then this...
And the name of your company is?
Tremendum Pictures.
What is that? What's the origin of that?
The word tremendum actually is we love the word. The word tremendum means a feeling of awe associated with an overwhelming experience. And as you can imagine, that's what this entire process has been for us. And that's what we hope our movies will be for people and just life will be for people. Just an awesome experience. So, yeah.
Who caught Chris's cameo in the film?
Anyone? Anyone?
It was very brief.
Where was he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Good eye.
Right behind.
Did
Cassidy.
Anyone catch mine?
No.
What?
What?
Okay. Did anyone catch my cameo?
I failed.
Mr. Schwendemann.
Yeah, you're good.
The drama teacher. I did that good. I did that good.
You had a beard.
The goatee. Yeah.
The beard.
So the gallows. I mean, obviously, you hear a lot about over history. You hear about like why some filmmakers wanted to get into doing a horror film. For you guys, what is that story? Were you guys genre fans beforehand?
I was. I mean, I grew up on John Carpenter stuff and Wes Craven, and I love the old classic slasher movies, and so that was a big inspiration for me. But I think mostly for this film, I think it was a lot of necessity. I mean, we didn't have a lot of money, and we knew horror is a great genre to kind of get your foot in the door or just get your experience. And again, we had no resources. We were like, what can we do with no stars, you know, no money, and just this simple idea. So that was part of it.
Yeah, that was a big part of it. Of course, we were looking for future stars, there which I think we yes. have
and
right
found
here.
Them.
They weren't known at the time, but now they certainly will be, we believe.
Good on you, yes. Travis.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you get roped into all this? How did you meet these two?
I was looking on YouTube and a couple of different blogs, and I ended up seeing about a minute of footage that these guys shot, and I just thought it was incredible. It was scary. It was bold. It was strange, and I ended up just calling them up, and they were, you know, told me they live in Fresno, which is, you know, it's very far away, and in the farmlands, and they said they just so happened to be in L.A. the next day, which was obviously not true at all.
True, no.
And they came down, and they showed me some of their footage, and you know, I was the first looking at it as a producer, and thought, God, this is incredible. Let's lock arms and go try and, you know, make this the best movie you can. And then started to represent them as a manager as well.
Yeah, and then you also brought it to Jason Blum's.
That's right. One of the we realized this is a micro-budget horror movie, and the king of horror movies is your friend Jason Blum. Yes. And so we decided to do a test screening with Jason, with us, and with 100 teenagers. And we realized at that moment there's something really special here.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about the shooting experience and the casting. More importantly, as you guys know, you used all your original group names, you know, very much like the Blair Witch. They did the same thing with Blair Witch. But what were you guys looking for? You know, what we like to say at Blumhouse is, like, a lot of the stuff that we do is, like, if you strip away all the scares, they're like Sundance dramas at their core, and here you have a story about this guy who probably doesn't belong in this play. He wants out, but he's falling for this girl, Pfeiffer.
Naturally.
So obviously you need a cast with a strong emotional core, so can you talk about finding your cast, and guys, talk about you know, whether you had an audition and so on.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear what you guys
Well,
say.
We had again limited resources, but we had a friend of ours who came down from Fresno and helped us out. Carolyn DeVort casting. She kind of set up some things, and we came down here to Hollywood to cast our four main characters. And we saw over 200 people in 2 days, and we really were looking for people who could relate to the characters just automatically off the bat, so that it wouldn't be that difficult of a transition into their character. And we knew some of them right away. Some we had just seen so many people that our minds were mush, and we had to kind of look back at the videotapes. But
which one was I?
You were right away.
You were right away.
The second you asked if you could point the camera at yourself, we knew you were the one for us.
Can I point this at myself? And then you're like,
and we're like, yes. And Reese, I remembered Reese as being someone that just, he caught my attention. And Chris was like, I don't even remember. We saw so many people.
Yeah,
let's watch
remember.
It back. And we showed him the tape of Reese. We saw him again, and we knew right away that he was a very strong actor. Pfeiffer, she was just too cute to pass up, I think.
Aww. Thanks. But really.
No, seriously.
Why'd you pick me?
No, seriously. No, we thought she was just great. She had just a great personality, and we really just thought you
Aww.
Were great. That's Jeez. All there was to it. Cassidy, on the other hand, oh my gosh, there's a story there that goes with that. I don't know if we have the time, but yeah.
They actually don't want me here. They don't even want me here.
No. Yeah. We love Cassidy, and I will tell you that she has been a tremendous actress in this film. I mean, we. I'll just say it. We, in the original version of this film, we had a different person. And after we had met with Dean and Jason and the folks at Blumhouse and discussed what we were going to do to enhance the movie and to film the things that we wish we could have filmed the first go-around when we didn't have anything, about 3 weeks before shooting, we met with all our four main actors, and one of them had lost a lot of weight and looked very, very different. And it was a really tough decision for us. It was really a hard time for us, you know, thinking all is lost and what do we do? And that very day when it was apparent that we were going to have to make a change, Bo Swayze at Management 360 said, I have a girl that I think could be great. And they looked her up online, and I said, "What? All these pictures? She's with Kathy Lee Gifford. Are they friends or something?" and they said, "No, that's her daughter." I said, "You're kidding me, right? Like, there's no way she could be the one we're looking for at the snap of a finger. You know, like, we have to see people to make sure." And we met with her that night. She was great, and her mom was there too. It was great doing that. And we said, "Let's still go see some more people," and we did. And we ended up coming back to her because she was
perfect.
Great. She earned it, and she really did a great job. You're welcome. Thank you.
What's your mom think about?
Well, it was funny because when I first met them, we were actually just on our way to dinner, and I got a call from my manager, and he was like, "Even if you just have 5 minutes, can you just come in and say hi?" And my mom needed to use the bathroom, so of course she came in. And so she was like going to go to the bathroom, and then like it ended up being sat for, I think it was 5 minutes.
Yeah, just it was very brief.
I went home, I sent in a taped audition. I didn't hear for 2 weeks, and with tape auditions, you kind of just wipe your hands of it and hope for the best. But you normally think that they're going to go with someone that they meet in person. And then I went in for a callback with all three of these guys, and it was your birthday.
Oh, that's right.
Like, yeah.
Lived together, like you guys are like best friends. So I was already nervous for the callback, and I'm going in, and they're all like best friends. So we kind of hit it off immediately.
Oh yeah.
And then shunned you for the rest of the shoot.
Yeah, she was a great addition.
She was the greatest addition that we ever could have asked for.
It's not always that easy.
Yeah. We were shocked. I was on Skype watching that. You were actually here. I was on Skype in Fresno watching that.
You just had a baby.
Yeah. Well, my wife Amber just had a baby. I cannot.
So
That would be very. That's not even possible for me. Yeah.
Really quick, we're gonna open this up to the audience as well.
Sure.
And if you guys have any questions, just find one of the publicists to grab the microphone. You have a question?
First of all, I want to congratulate you guys. Welcome to the horror genre.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I want to ask each of the actors, how much like your respective characters are you, and what are the biggest differences? Because you all embody them so well that I have to wonder, did you not fit these types yourselves when you were in school?
Should I start?
Well, start, right?
Let's keep in mind that we started filming this 4 years ago.
Oh.
Yes. So
we were all fresh out of high school.
Yeah,
so.
And I was much more immature then. I'm not that mature now, but
yeah.
Like it was so easy because as soon as you kind of tuned into being that kind of jerky jock making fun of people, it was so easy. And if you're surrounded by all these people, like immediately you just have like material here and there. So I just like fed off that for days and weeks and apparently years. And it kind of like seeped into my regular life. And now I feel like I'm kind of turning, you know, a little bit, and I'm becoming a man.
Aww.
Congratulations.
The boyhood of scary movies. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I mean, I hope I'm not anything like my character at all.
She's not.
I hope not. The way I guess I kind of describe her is the girl that we all kind of knew in high school and didn't necessarily like. But then ultimately, I think the only similarity is I think fear is fear when it comes to human nature. So for all of us, even though we all started out as completely different characters, ultimately we're all faced with the same things, and sort of that's what brings us together, is that it's just human nature to be terrified, and that doesn't necessarily manifest itself in completely different ways.
Yeah. My character was head of the drama department, and I can relate to that. I was never head of the drama department, but I was always very artistic and singing and on the dance team and in school plays. And so I was able to kind of, you know, feed off of that relation. But my character, Pfeiffer, was a complete perfectionist and always on time and organized, and I am not those things in real life.
We can attest to that.
I am so horrible at being on time. Organization is not one of my strong suits. Way more laid back and kind of in real life, I'd say, in the classiest way possible. But I could relate to my character because I am passionate about acting and singing in real life, just as I was in the movie.
Nice. Yeah, I could relate very well to my character. I played football for a while. I ended up breaking my pelvis So I couldn't play anymore after that. And whenever I started acting, I was actually very shy whenever I was a kid. I still am. I got held back in school because I didn't speak. So playing somebody that was, you know, extremely nervous and had this incredible stage fright, I understood. That made total sense to me. And I remember whenever I started doing theater in high school, I was the exact same guy. I was scared to even walk out on the stage. I would hide behind the tree, wait for them to say, get out there. But I can totally relate, you know, being the scared kid who has to grow up and learn to face their fears so you can become a real, I say real adult.
A man.
Yes.
Just like Ryan.
Like Ryan.
A man.
I'm realizing that you guys kind of grew up on set with us.
Yeah.
I like that.
It was touching. Our college years. Basically.
Although I do feel like I was the dad on set.
Boyhood, the horror version.
Yeah, yeah. I do feel like I was the dad on set. It's funny. I would say that they are similar in ways, but very different in ways. One way is like on set, I was really like, you guys, you have to understand, most of you have seen this, but Chris and I were crafting the most wholesome scares, and like we were going for no blood and guts. Like we really were shooting for a PG-13. I don't know if you guys know that. But the fact is, the movie was too scary for that, apparently. I mean, because those things...
R-rated for being too scary.
Yeah, I mean, that's literally it. One thing that was funny is, like the least likely person to cuss in this group is Cassidy. And we actually kept her F-bomb. That's like the one F-bomb in the movie.
I tripped. I just ate it. Like, the first night, I just tripped, and I went face down on the steps.
And
so I was so nervous.
She starts laughing and apologizing
because
she
cussed.
Slip.
Yeah.
But it looks like on camera because she, you know.
And then we kept it, but I was mortified because I thought you two were going to hate me forever because you guys will never hear these two say anything bad in the entire world. They're the most endearing, wonderful people on the planet. And then, of course, like, I'm already the new kid. And I
sweet
just,
little
like,
Cassidy.
Right on camera. Our first date. Like, the
my
first
language overshadowed.
It made the trailer. Sure.
It made the trailer, made the movie. And but yeah, I mean, I feel like I was the dad for a lot of you guys. Like, hey, watch your language, you know, this and that. Of course, I had my kids coming on set every once in a while, too. And I was like, hey, PG-13 around my kids, especially PG around my kids. But it's very, very cool. We take it as a compliment that we kind of outdid ourselves on the scares. So we take it as a compliment.
Really quick, Dean, from your perspective, were you kind of guiding them along and pushing for a PG-13, or did you kind of get a sense that these two were crafting something that might be scarier than what they were?
No, we all wanted it to be PG-13 in the sense that we wanted the, you know, these guys tend to prefer watching PG-13. There's no gore. There's no
nudity or drugs.
There's no violence. And truly, we were surprised, but also just New Line and Jace, we were all thrilled that it was R because it was R for really being too terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And we think it's something that these guys really, they really outdid themselves.
When it comes to this found footage kind of shoot for the actors, there's some improving that can be done, and you don't necessarily have to hit the frame, that sort of thing. Does that make it easier on you guys as actors, or is it more complicated because you're also thinking about, well, there's a better line to improvise, there's a better reaction? Is it easier or harder with this kind of found footage type show shoot?
I think, well, the improv is great because we had a lot of time, honestly. So we kind of just were like, this is the scene we're going to be working on for the next couple hours. So let's just do it a bunch of times and you can switch them all up. And the great thing about my character being behind the camera, you can go back and change as many lines as you want. You know what I mean? Like, if you think of something funnier a month later, you're like, let's go put that in. That one's way better. So the improvisation part was super cool for me.
We had a lot of good material from you that we could use on set from various takes that we were able to put in different things.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of good stuff from production from you.
Definitely.
I feel like it was a blast, and I wouldn't have wanted to do it any other way, doing the improvising and the found footage stuff. But it did, we would have to do take after take after take after take after take, because since we didn't have, you know, set cameras that were going to shoot exactly what we, and, you know, lines that we were going to say word for word, you know, we'd do it and the camera would be unsteady and we'd just have to do it again, and the camera would land on the wrong thing, we'd have to do it again. So I think that just added, we put in a lot of hard, long work to make it look the way it does now, because we didn't have steady cameras shooting the things that needed to be shot. We kind of just flew by the seat of our pants.
There's no coverage. You know, shooting found footage is much harder than shooting normally. People don't realize that. The reason they were broke, they had no money, and truly it was the only way to do it, and it came out just more raw and authentic.
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree with them as well. Like, I think it actually is more difficult, and the contrary to what most people would think, was because also Chris and Travis, they had such a specific vision that they had for it, and that all of us, after just being on set for so long together, we became friends, and for us, we wanted them to get what they wanted too, and even if sometimes we couldn't see, like, if we got frustrated that it was taking so many takes, ultimately, when we finally would see it, we were grateful that the work had been done, because it's hard to get a scare down just right. It can 2 seconds off could make or break it, so you really have to be so specific.
Right, and in the beginning, too, we were getting scene pages we were getting were, like, this long of a description for, like, a 3-page scene. They're like, so you're going to walk around for a while and say some funny stuff here and make fun of Reese a little bit, and then this is going to happen. You're like, oh, you're serious. Oh, okay. Cool, yeah, let's go for it.
Yeah, we essentially had a lot of points that we really needed to hit and wanted to hit. And as many of you have said, the camera was its own character.
Oh, yeah.
And so we really had to have things land in certain ways, whereas we would get great performances in several takes, but like the timing had to be just right. And Chris is really great with timing and pace and just really leading up to something and the build up to a scare. And so we would really discuss that a lot and go, now did it land just right, or was it just right here or there? And there were several times we're like, we love you guys and your performance was amazing. Do it again.
Right. What's great, these guys were working for barely any money. There was, they were coming back and forth to Fresno. They were going into the studio, and it was really a passion project for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever thought that it would end up with Warner Brothers being shown in
around.
Well, there's always the hope.
63 countries.
Yeah.
There was always the hope, but yeah. It was an amazing ride. For
yeah,
sure.
It is beyond what we imagined, though.
Yeah.
It is awesome.
Fred, you had a question.
Did you guys use any gallows humor to break the tension on set?
All.
Good question.
All the time.
Like
just
that?
Hang in there.
Yeah.
Just hang in there, buddy.
Yes.
All the time.
It was surrounded us everywhere we went. There were several lines. We had to drop a few of them. No pun intended. Drop a few of the. How's it going? Oh, just hanging.
Just hanging.
This and that. I mean, there were several lines. But yes, it was very funny. And yeah. Yes, it was loaded with gallows humor.
Hi, you guys are not exactly the Coen brothers. You didn't grow up together. So how did it work on set with two directors in the cast? Were you ever confused about who you're supposed to listen to? Fiverr's now definitely yes. So can you talk about this?
I love you. I'm kidding. Not really, but
no. By the time when we started filming, Travis and I had only known each other for maybe like a year and a half,
yeah.
2 years maybe.
Yeah.
And it was at the very beginning. I was working more with the actors, and then throughout the process, Travis became more involved, and we kind of became co-directors at a certain point.
Yeah.
And we would always have different ideas, and as Travis says, you know, the best idea always won. It was always for the betterment of the movie. And, even if it took a little while to get it figured out and try maybe both ways, again, the better idea always won and made the movie better for it. And I think the actors, you know, they got through those times, even though they probably were very frustrating and confusing.
Before they jump in and explain how crazy it was to work with Chris.
Let us defend ourselves.
Yeah,
first,
I'll just say, like, I originally it was Chris, he wanted to be a director, and so he went to school for that. So it was like, you do more of the directing, I'll do more of the producing. And ultimately, we ended up doing enough of both that it made sense that we both did. You know, I would give direction on things. He would do production things. And so we ultimately realized we're both doing both. So we might as well just say the only thing he really did a ton more of was all that the editing. He did a ton of editing, all these great visual effects, and just really having a good sense of timing and pacing for horror movies.
They basically did every role on the movie. And I think Travis's wife did craft services.
She did. My wife did craft services. She helped pick up. She was a runner from time to time with a 2-week-old baby in her hand.
Was one of the cops. It was a family affair.
Yeah.
It was a big family.
One of the actors.
Now the actors. Yeah, here you go.
Uh-huh.
Unleash on us.
Honestly, as you guys know, this is really all of our first big project. And to say big project sounds silly because it was done on such a small scale in my eyes, you know, going through it. But honestly, this is really the first thing that I'll have to compare future projects to. And so in a way, it's going to be, I hope to have two directors in everything that I do from here on out, because that's just what I'm used to now. Chris and Travis were such a team that in the very beginning, we looked to Chris as more of the director, but then, you know, the more involved we became in the project, Travis and Chris were like two peas in a pod, and they'd bounce ideas off of one another, and, you know, Travis could direct us in ways that Chris couldn't explain and vice versa, and, you know, there would be times that they would have two different visions, and once we started shooting something, I don't like that, and Travis would be like, no, this is exactly what I wanted, and Chris is like, well, let's just do it again. So we would do a lot of, if they couldn't really decide on one thing, we would shoot both, and then, you know, figure out at the end of the day what they liked more. But honestly, this is the first thing that I'll have to compare it to, and I thought it was super awesome, because if I thought one of their ideas sucked, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm on your side, Travis. And then if I liked Chris's idea more, I'd be like, yeah, what's Travis talking about? So it's kind of like having divorced parents in a way.
I thought it was a very freeing experience having two directors to be able to work with, because it takes ego just out of the equation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you have two people juggling ideas, and that helps you as the actor say, okay, well, I'm a part of this team as well. Let me put my two cents in. Let's work as a team here. Let's try it your way. Let's try it my way. Let's try it his way. And we'll see what ultimately comes out. You're not just trying to please one person mm-hmm. that whole time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It felt much more like a team effort, mm-hmm. which was awesome.
And it's not
awesome.
Like you guys were never not communicating, too. Like, you guys are so close, so at the same time, there's never, like, a time where you didn't feel like you could go to the other person about something that the other had said, even though there were mm-hmm. times when maybe we just needed to shoot right away where Chris would say, do this, and then he'd walk away, and then 2 seconds later, Travis would tell you to do the complete opposite. But then you were never afraid to say, like, wait, which one should I do? And then, but they were so involved with everything. Like, even at one point, I remember when we were working on my neck wound, like, all of a sudden, like, I thought it was our makeup artist, and all of a sudden, like, Travis's hands were, like, on my neck. I'm like, Lisa, you have such large hands. Like, all of a sudden, I, like, looked down, and Travis is, like, fixing it. Like, they just knew what they wanted and what to get out of it, and it was always a constant conversation with us included as well. It was, if we had an idea, like, we always felt like we had the freedom to talk to them, mm-hmm. and that's kind of rare.
For Chris, I was just in because the voice
got
to
write. Oh, awesome.
I'm really curious what inspired you to set this story in that community.
You know, my dad, I grew up with this story about a kid who died on stage. My dad told me about it, and then when we thought about where the movie should take place, we thought, man, it'd be cool to have it just set in this small town that no one knows about, and it feels almost creepier that way, like this town that it actually does exist, but you'd never be able to find it, and it's just, I don't know, there's something eerie about an old school in a small town that it can just disappear, this story can just disappear, and yeah. I don't know, that I think that's kind of why we stuck with it just throughout the whole time. We always just had it set in Beatrice, and throughout the whole process, you know, we let Blumhouse and the producers say, hey, if you want to change it to somewhere else, feel free. There's nothing that specifically needs to make it stay there, but they're like, no, let's just keep it. It's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah. It's the true story.
Yeah, we don't... It's weird because there's been several things that have, you know, events even since production throughout, in Beatrice specifically, as well as just around the world, other accidental hangings and other things that are a little bit too eerie for us. But if you look up, you know, things like that, hangings and things that have to do with Beatrice, there's
unusually high.
Yeah,
in that town.
Yeah, and even.
Yeah, no, it's like 12,000.
Yeah, 12,000.
But still, it's a small town. Everybody knows everybody, kind of a town. Yeah.
And you see many haunted house movies. This is a haunted house movie in a school.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you go online, there's many people that have their own, you know, stories of their own schools that have apparitions or, you know, things exactly like this mm-hmm. around the world.
Hi.
Hi.
Your actors to get that honest reaction or just anything on set, like the actors were spooked by the night.
I, think we tried to do that every single moment we could.
Every time we could. And honestly, there were times where we didn't try, and stuff like that happened anyway.
Yes.
I will say, in regards to that opening scene, we had been planning that scene for like a year. How were we going to do it? How were we going to kind of trick the audience? And how were we also going to trick the actors on stage? Because we ultimately tricked them as well by dropping Charlie a little bit sooner than even they anticipated. So ultimately, every reaction that we saw on camera or experienced on stage was genuinely like, what just happened? Something must have gone wrong. That wasn't when they told us it was going to happen, and we never told the audience it was going to happen. So is something legitimately wrong here? So we really did get that sense of dread and terror. And we have a couple video interviews of audience members afterwards saying, oh my gosh, how could you do that to me? You know, and they're friends, so we can do that kind of stuff to them.
There's plenty of moments like that.
Well, what's that? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, what's so great is that this movie was done outside the system. It was so mm-hmm. guerrilla that you have the ability to do that. You couldn't do that if it was Tom Cruise, you know? You couldn't just randomly just prank him, oh, you weren't supposed to be there.
Right.
Like, they were able to have fun and shoot 16-hour days and really, you know, kind of really make it feel like it's, you know, a family-style shot movie. And I think it really, you know, comes through.
Yeah, it did. And then there were also many instances where weird things happen. We were talking about sending Ryan into places. He ducked down and went through this tiny little place, and there was a chair, a folding chair in there.
That for every time was upright. It was upright the entire time. And keep in mind that I'm holding the camera myself. We have a transmitter on the camera, and they're standing like...
We're watching way...
We're like in a totally different place.
In a basement in like a boiler room at 3 a.m. And this chair, like every time I'm going in and out, and then all of a sudden the chair's down. And you're like...
Charlie.
Who's been in here? And they're all like, no, copy, it's good. No,
just yeah, you going, said, guys, should we cut? Like, we're like, no, keep going.
And no way. I stopped.
That worked out. And then also, I think Reese had an experience. Could you want to recount the attic?
This was in the very beginning.
Traumatized Reese.
You were filming yourself.
This was before we had Ed with us.
So yeah. Yeah.
I had the camera. This is when me and Pfeiffer were walking through the attic. And we're just on these two little planks, because you're in the attic. If you go off too far to the right, you're just in insulation. You're going to fall through the roof. Mm-hmm. Same thing to the left. So we're going down this hallway, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Wood panel.
A void.
Yes. Yeah, going underneath all the air ducts and all that thing. And I remember turning to the right, and they yelled cut. So I cut the camera, and out of the corner of my eye, I see this burlap sack just spinning. And I'm thinking, we've already done this 17 times. I do not want to do this again. This is so funny.
And they were two floors below us. They sent us up to the attic by ourselves.
Yeah.
And they had a transmitter.
Well, Chris was
else.
At the beginning of the run with you. I was downstairs helping my wife with craft services.
Yeah.
Anyway, I see this thing just lurch up into the air, and it's gone. And I ran Pfeiffer out of there. We're like, guys, we can't do this again. I just can't handle this right now. They're like, no, just one more time. It's going to be over. We've got to do this next shot. So we get to the exact same spot. I'm just staring. I've got the camera where it needs to be. And I'm just looking for this burlap bag. And we got it on camera, on the sound.
We hear this
whisper of my name, which came from right here. I swear, and I have no idea how they
did it. It was right in our ear, but we were the only ones up there. It was horrifying. We sprinted out of there
guys
so fast.
Pfeiffer,
I was
her
cut
out of there.
All
we
up
were
and
all
down
sorts
my arms
of sliced from the insulation.
We just darted out of there.
They were fine. They were fine. No humans were harmed during the production of this film.
They were possessed for a week.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But no, it was...
We were done after that, though.
That was it after
that. For that night, anyway.
And I don't think I believed it, but we played the tape back, and I did hear the whisper.
Oh, it's right in our ear. It's awful.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't sleep for about a week after that.
I was going to say one more question, and I'm
just
purely stating my own fanboy sensibilities. How did you guys find the look for Charlie? Because every horror icon has a story behind how they found the look, whether it's William Shatner's mask and Halloween, and so on and so on. So how did you find the look of Charlie?
Well, we had a costume designer helping us out early on when we shot our original kind of teaser experiment trailer. And we wanted something that I was looking online for, you know, what do executioners typically look like? And we wanted something kind of along those lines, but unique as well. and something cheap because we had no money. So we're like, okay, let's just throw like a sack on his head and see what that does. And but this costume designer we had, you know, added the stitching, added kind of these little details, and in post I would enhance certain things to make it even more just dramatic and stark, and that was kind of just the look we ended up with.
We definitely wanted something unique and different. I mean, that's the challenge, is to, you know, it's all been done before, you know. The challenge was to make it new and unique. And so we had early sketches, and then she helped us really tie in the ultimate look and the noose, and just, I mean, when we hadn't known of that to have been done. And again, we were shooting, you know, we're wholesome guys, not terribly into gore and that kind of stuff. So we thought, man, a rope, we could just make a noose just so eerie. And we ultimately wanted to try to do that. And that's how Charlie that's how our version of Charlie was created.
Excellent. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming out this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.